96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The Ebola crisis, police clashing with a black family in Indiana, and actress Raven Simone speaks about race and sexuality. Sort of. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. My guests are Latrina Antoine, D.C. editor for the Afro-American newspaper, freelance reporter Taria Rogers, and Aaron Gilchrist, anchor and reporter for NBC4 Washington. Lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. You can also hit me on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldT. Fisher or Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Let's jump right in. Latrina, first of all, first time on the program. Thanks for joining me. Thomas Eric Duncan, he died this morning, the Liberian national, first person diagnosed with Ebola in the U.S. All through social media on Black Twitter today, a lot of folks are saying something stinks. What do you think? Do you think everything was done for him that could possibly have been done?
No.
Why not?
I think that there was a very late response in regards to him. And I think a lot of this was done because of the fact that Americans at that point didn't really realize that this crisis, this epidemic, could reach the states, and now they're figuring that out. But with Mr. Duncan, what happened? He went to the hospital with signs. He was obviously sick, and they didn't test him for Ebola. Now, yes, he didn't answer truthfully on some of the questions, especially him traveling. He didn't answer those questions, but I still think as medical professionals, they should have gone through the whole nine. And I just think it was a late response on our healthcare part.
Aaron, your thoughts about this?
Yeah, you know, this is some of the family and friends who were talking to media today said that they felt like because he was Liberian, because he wasn't an American, he did not get the same treatment that the other patients who've been cured from Ebola got when they got sick. And so that's the question that's sort of out there now is was that a factor in him not getting treatment that would save his life? But then there are also, you know, a lot of other issues that may not ever be addressed. For example, there likely will not be an autopsy, so we won't know if there was something else involved with his medical state as he went into the hospital then. And there are also some questions about this hospital, Texas Health Presbyterian, and how they dropped the ball. There are going to be a lot more questions from a lot of different people. A lot of government agencies are going to be looking at this hospital, trying to figure out how he was not brought in to be treated more quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's also a question, of course, like you said, of quality of care, right? We've had about maybe 4 or 5 U.S. patients that have been diagnosed with Ebola. I think 2 of them have been cured. One, I think, is still an observation. Maybe there's another one observation or so. But, you know, we know who they are. One was a doctor. They come over there isolated, right? Now, what did Duncan do? Like most minorities, I don't feel well. I'm going to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. So you're in here with people who got stab wounds and, you know, not to sensitize like that. But, you know, people in the emergency room, so you're just trying to, you have a fever. They're going to do what they do to other minorities. You know, you have a fever, take this antibiotic and go home, you know. So we kind of came across that other piece of care that minorities get sometime, and you're just not going to get that intense level of care that some others may get.
But, you know, again, we do know that he was receiving an experimental drug. And, you know, as Latrina first, you know, pointed out, we don't know whether or not that, I guess, day or two of delay after he went home had a detrimental effect on how this virus progressed. Although I personally think that perhaps if he had been asked the right questions, if he had been taken in right away, we don't know. We really don't know. We may never. We will probably never know now. But I suspect that if they had been able to address this issue right away, he was getting an experimental drug.
I also understand that the physician that was treated, he's given some of his blood to one of the other patients.
Right, exactly.
And apparently
the photojournalist, yeah.
Yes, but apparently he said at the hospital in Dallas, he reached out to them and the call was never returned by that transfusion.
But I think a lot of this had to do with the timing, because you have a lot of professionals saying that if they had caught this earlier, that 2 days could have made the difference between life and death.
Without question.
And we know in each of the other cases, they were able to get these people who were identified, they were flagged as having some sort of exposure, and maybe they came down with it, and they were put on planes, medical planes, right, from Africa, and flown back to the United States. In his case, he flew back on his own. He wasn't showing any symptoms. Mm-hmm. He went, 4 days before he first went to the hospital, and then the almost three additional days before he was brought back in an ambulance. So the entire presentation of his Ebola case was so dramatically different from the others, I think.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We're going to be talking about this Ebola virus crisis and the death of Thomas Eric Duncan. Also, we're going to talk about the Hammond family in Indiana and that video of a police officer shattering the passenger side window after the family was stopped for a seatbelt violation. Also, we're going to be talking about Raven Simone as well. Let me, the phone calls are really, really coming in. But once we get that squared away, I do want to say this. I think one of the things that is really, really frightening about this is that now we have a Dallas County Sheriff's deputy who is now being looked at with symptoms, and that the fire chief in Frisco, Texas, which is a city outside of Dallas, says that he served the family with papers. He was there. He was not protected, and he did have exposure, not to Thomas Eric Duncan, but the other family members, and perhaps who knows what else inside the house. And so I think that it is a very, very frightening thing, and the United States really has to get on the stick to deal with this.
I think there's a word of caution, too, to people who are paying attention to all that's going on with Ebola, because it is something that is not widespread popping up in people across the country. We had a couple of cases here in the D.C. area where we thought people were exposed and possibly infected, and all three of them turned out not to be infected with Ebola. And so, you know, I think it's worth paying attention to for everybody, but I don't think it's worth freaking out about. People don't need to be worried at every turn that you're going to get Ebola. The symptoms in some cases seem very similar to, you know, almost a common flu.
Which is scary in and of itself.
That's the scary part. Yeah. 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 Someone pointed out, like, we're walking into flu season now. Yeah. So who do you know walking down the street does not just have a flu? And you know, we shouldn't panic, right? That'll make it even worse. Right. But I have talked to some medical professionals who say, you know, the spread of it is just so easy. We really should be very, very concerned about
it. But you mentioned the flu also. You know, thousands of people die from the flu every single year. Young people. The flu is serious, and we've been reporting for years, the flu is not a bad cold. Mm. You know, the flu is something completely different and extremely dangerous. And so certainly, you know, as these two things kind of come together, I think everyone, not to panic, as you said, Aaron, but we should be watching. We're going to get on the phone lines with our listeners in just a bit. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with Latrina Antoine, D.C. editor for the Afro-American newspaper, freelance reporter Taria Rogers, and Aaron Gilchrist, anchor reporter for NBC4 Washington. Lines are open, 202-319-7810 or 855-288-4876. We're going to continue to take your calls, of course, even after 7:30. So stay with us. Al calling. Okay, do we want to go to Al, or are we going to Tony? Tony calling from Columbia. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks. I was thinking that this was actually done on purpose, maybe, because when I look at the situation, I say, okay, Thomas Duncan, he came over from Liberia, and I think that the American government probably had to allow him to die. Now, I know we get bad treatment in, you know, the hospitals and things like that, but I think that maybe they did it for political reasons, because if you have a population of, you know, people in different West African countries to come over, and they say, okay, well, we can go to America because, you know, they got medicine, we can get healed. And I've seen articles where there are certain medications that maybe mask the symptoms of Ebola. So if you get somebody on the plane, they answer the questions the wrong way, say, hey, nothing's wrong with me, and they're masking it. And then, you know, they come over thinking, hey, America is going to cure us. And I think politically the government may have allowed him to die.
I most certainly hope that that is not true, Tony. Al, calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I hope Tony's not correct either. We just listened to the conversation. Before we go off into the conspiracy theory that it, minorities are going to get bad medical treatment for the Ebola virus, we need to think about the fact that he did come into the country. He was sick. He didn't go in right away. He didn't tell anyone where he had come from, which would have immediately made a, hopefully would have immediately made a flag go up to say, hey, he just came from a Ebola area. We need to check him. And he went back home. So I actually see part of his death may have came from the fact that he did not get proper treatment for the virus right away, partly due because he didn't reveal that he had come from an area where it was rampant. And he had to think in his mind that maybe I do have something greater than just a cold or feeling ill, considering where he just came from.
Well, I think, you know, in that particular case, Al, again, there are so many questions. Aaron said this before. There are going to be a lot of questions for the hospital. There are going to be a lot of questions about the procedure. And certainly it appears that a lot of people may have dropped the ball. They didn't, you know, move through checklists. And that's why we are where we are today. Let us hope that we don't see another death behind this horrible virus. I need to take another break, but if you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More from the Reporters Roundtable in just a few seconds.